Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, your keychain and your keys say a lot about you. I've got a keychain, certain keys on this keychain. I want to share with you what those keys are. I'm very intentional about my keys. One key opens our blue Honda Fit. It's the blue, you know, the Smurf car out in the parking lot, that car. I've got a key fob that opens up our Honda Pilot. Alicia usually drives that. Every once in a while, she lets me kind of drive around, right, honey? Then I've got a mailbox key. That's for the mailbox right across our house. And, you know, looking forward to all that advertisement and all that good stuff. That's what that key opens up. Then I've got our front door to our house. That's another key. That's the fourth key. And then finally, there's a fifth key on my keychain, and that is the key to the church. There are very few of these master keys, and they're just a couple. And you can open up pretty much any door in the church with this master key. And then I've got my key ring. Really simple. Key ring and five keys. That's the kind of guy I am. I'm very intentional about the keys that are on my key ring. Now, Alicia, her key ring's got all the fluff, you know, the symbol and extra things on the key. Not me. I'm very serious about my keys, okay? These keys I use pretty much every single day. And if I were to miss one of those keys, it would make a significant difference in how I operated each day. So if I didn't have my car keys, I wouldn't be able to have transportation and get around and do some important things. If I didn't have my mailbox key, I couldn't get those wonderful advertisements for fast food every week in the mail. And if I didn't have the key to the front door, I'd be waiting outside patiently for Alicia to arrive. And if I didn't have that church key, I couldn't do a lot of things that I do as a pastor. So think about your keychain this morning. What do those keys do? How important are they to you? And do you use them every single day? What does your keychain say about your activities every single day? Well, this morning I'd like to suggest that you have one more key on your keychain. A gospel key. That God has given you a key to use to unlock the hearts of other people with Jesus' love, mercy, and forgiveness. Do you remember that first time that your parents gave you that car key to drive that car, the family car? The feeling of joy and exhilaration when you got that key? I remember getting that key, and I remember thinking about all the friends that I would drive past their homes and kind of feel good and just drive past their homes and show them that I could finally drive. But do you remember the stern look that your parents gave you when they handed over that key? What responsibility, what power there was with that key in your hand. The resurrected Jesus in John chapter 20 handed over keys. That's the teaching of the Lutheran Church, the office of the keys. You know, look it up in the catechism. What happened was when the resurrected Jesus came back alive, he approached his disciples and he handed over the key to them. With all the authority that Jesus gave, he handed it to the disciples and to Peter. And what joy and exhilaration Peter must have had when he got that key, the travels that he would go on, and the people that he would connect to. But when Jesus handed over those keys, there must have been a stern look. What responsibility, what power Jesus was handing over. John 20, it's a text that we get this from. Jesus breathed on the disciples. And at that moment, the keys were handed over to them to operate, to unlock hearts for the gospel. All sorts of people, to open up hearts and give Jesus love and mercy. And here today, we're in the 21st century. Friends, Jesus has breathed on you through his Holy Spirit. And you have that key. It's on your keychain, believe it or not. Now, is it a key that you're using daily in the lives of others around you? Are you using the key to unlock their hearts and bring Jesus love, mercy, and forgiveness? Or is it a key that just hangs out on that ring that you carry around but you really don't use all that often? You know, our text here in Acts chapter 11 happens just a few weeks after Jesus had passed on those keys to the disciples in John 20. Just a few weeks had passed. And what we find here with the disciples and Peter is that they were struggling to use those keys, the key that Jesus handed on. Why? Well, because they got caught up in human distinction. They caught up with these food purity laws of the Old Testament. There's lots of food purity laws in the Old Testament, and they were really severe. So, you know when you go to Market of Choice or you go to Safeway and you see that person looking up the ingredients and wondering, is this pure or is this impure? Multiply that by 50. That's what happened in the Old Testament time with these food purity laws. It was really important. And it wasn't just about the food in the Old Testament. Those rules expanded into daily activity. You're supposed to watch what you were supposed to do. And it wasn't just your daily activity. Those laws actually expanded and covered people. And here's the thing you need to know about the food purity laws of the Old Testament. It boils down to this. There was only one kind of people that was pure. Jews. Everyone else was impure. Everyone else didn't measure up. So here's the struggle of Acts chapter 11 and a big fight in the early church. There's lots of extra biblical writing about this. Big fights happen. Jesus gives keys so that hearts can be opened, all sorts of hearts, to his love, mercy, and grace. But then some of the disciples are caught up in making distinctions between people, if they're pure and impure, based on food purity laws. Now here we are in the 21st century. We don't make distinctions between people. We've evolved and we've become much more advanced, right? We don't separate people and divide them based on their characteristics. We've grown past that, right? No, we haven't. We're struggling worse than the first century, making distinctions between people. We struggle with race. We treat people of a different race based upon their race and characteristics. We're struggling with that in our own country. We struggle in making distinctions between where people live. If someone lives on Kneeback Hill, it means... If someone lives on the west side of town, it means... Just yesterday, I was in a meeting with a bunch of Christians, and someone explained that there's a huge distinction between people that live in Corvallis and people that live in Albany. Yeah, I see people shaking their heads. We know this exists. We make distinctions over age. Ever heard it? A millennial, they probably don't have people skills. They're probably not very good. A baby boomer, they're just in it for themselves. An older person, don't listen to their voice. A younger person, don't listen to them. They don't have experience. A sermon you are hearing right now in today's culture, make human distinctions. That is not the gospel. The gospel is for all people. And when we do that, we deny the fact that God is a God of all nations and all people. And the worst thing that happens is that key that Jesus gave us is no longer utilized because we're stuck on making human distinction. And so one of the parts of this text here in Acts chapter 11 is the Holy Spirit says to Peter, make no distinction amongst people. Stop it. You know, one of the most powerful examples of a group of people stopping and ceasing, making human distinction and making an enormous impact is a little French town called Le Chaumont. Check it out. Le Chaumont was a little French town that had a church that was in the center of the town. And during this time, it was World War II, and as we know, actually the Nazis were really good at making human distinctions. That was one of their main philosophies. They didn't say it, but this is what they did. They called the Jews and they found things in which they were different and they exaggerated them. It's a terrible teaching. This little town, La Chaumont, brought in the Jews who were coming, spilling over from Germany, and as many other towns did, but they did something different than any of the other towns in Europe. You see, they didn't hide the Jews in their barns or in their homes. They didn't do that. They actually told the Jews to just simply live in their town. Go to their churches, go to their marketplace, go to the tavern, whatever it may be. And over time, this was known as the safest place in all of Europe, and they saved thousands of people's lives. But here's the catch. Towards the end of World War II, as the Nazis were kind of progressing their way through France, they came to this little town, La Chaumont. And the head Nazi officer approached the pastor, said this, "Please turn over all the Jews." You know what the pastor said? He said this, "We don't know any Jews. We only know men and women." He made no distinction. What a beautiful story. Saved thousands of lives. And isn't that what God calls us to do? And that little Christian town used the key to open up and unlock hearts for Jesus by serving them and allowing them to be in their community. The good news for each one of us this morning is this. God has made no distinction with you. Isn't that a good thing? We all look good this morning. I put on my best clothing this morning. I washed my clothes. Alicia washed my clothes, I know, and I looked really good, but there's a lot about me that isn't good. And at the moment in which we all became Christians, we were on the edge, you know, there's someone that could have stood up and said, "Hold on, wait a minute, I can tell you a story back in fifth grade. Don't let him into the church." Someone else could have raised their hand and said, "Oh, hold on, I know a story about his grandpa, what he did many, many years ago." And another person could raise their hand, "I could give you the backstory on him." And another person could say, "I got statistics on how things work when you let people like that into the church." That could have happened, but God made no distinction with you. He didn't listen to those voices. And unlocked your heart and brought you, and somehow you're here today because God did not make a distinction with you. And God did not make a distinction with Peter. Someone could have raised their hand and said, "Oh, wasn't he the guy that denied Jesus three times? Don't let him back in." And another person could have raised their hand and said, he sunk in the water. He slipped and fell in and didn't have faith in Jesus. Don't let him in. Another person could have said, he rebuked Jesus and spoke against him all the time. God made no distinction with Peter. The gospel may be best described, I actually think the gospel is best described as a key that God has given you, that you can use to unlock the hearts of people to bring a little bit of Jesus' love and mercy in their life. Now the early church, Acts chapter 11, Galatians covers this a little bit, the early church struggled with making distinctions between people. Something strange happened in the 4th and 5th century in the Christian church. Maybe you've read about it. Christians started to buy homes and build homes with an extra room in them. What a strange thing. Not for their entertainment systems, not for more storage space, not for a hangout room or a man cave. They bought extra rooms so that if there was a stranger in their midst, they could house them and unlock their hearts and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's the gospel, hospitality. Because God has made no distinction with you, we use that key and we make no distinction with any other person on this earth. So use the key on your key ring, every single one. Especially use the gospel key God's given you. Amen.